اللهم افتح علينا فتوح العارفين، ووفقنا توفيق الصالحين، وانفعنا اللهم بالقرآن والذكر الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يقربنا منك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت يا حي يا قيوم تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا سهلا. اللهم أعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، وأصلح لنا شأننا كله. لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، أما بعد. قال الإمام العارف بالله شرف الدين البوصيري رحمه الله تعالى ورضي عنه ونفعنا به وبكم آمين. الفصل الخامس في معجزاته صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. جاءت لدعوته الأشجار ساجدة تمشي إليه على ساق بلا قدم، كأنما سطرت سطرا لما كتبت فروعها من بديع الخط باللقم، مثل الغمامة أن سار سائرة تقيه حر وطيس للهجير حمي. أقسمت بالقمر المنشق إن له من قلبه نسبة مبرورة القسم. Sisters also please no recordings. Forgive me for this. I just speak politics sometimes, speak anything that comes on the way, so I don't want anyone to get my recordings to the FBI. Make it harder on them. أقسمت بالقمر المنشق إن له من قلبه نسبة مبرورة القسم، وما حوى الغار من خير ومن كرم، وكل طرف من الكفار عنه عمي. فالصدق في الغار والصديق لم يرما، وهم يقولون ما بالغار من أرم. ظنوا الحمام وظنوا العنكبوت على خير البرية لم تنسج ولم تحمي. وقاية الله أغنت عن مضاعفة من الدروع وعن عال من الأطم. ما سامني الدهر ضيما واستجرت به إلا ونلت جوارا منه لم يضم. ولا التمست غنى الدارين من يده إلا استلمت الندى من خير مستلم. In this first line of this fifth section on the miracles of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, الإمام البوصيري highlights one of the most important miracles, the trees walking towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prostrating themselves to him and attesting to his message or speaking. The line reads, at his call, trees came bowing in prostration, footless tree trunks trudging toward him. جاءت لدعوته, جاءت, جاء يجيء, بمعنى أتى, يأتي, فعل ماضي, came, جاءت التأنيث, referring to the plural form of the trees. لدعوته, from دعا يدعو, دعوة, called upon. دعا يدعو may mean to pray, to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, requesting something. Or دعا بمعنى invite, دعا ضيفا إلى داره, invite a guest. Or just دعاه, to call upon a person. And this is دعوة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة, call people to the way of thy Lord. جاء جاءت لدعوته. Upon his call. الأشجار plural of شجرة. أشجار trees. ساجدة حال came prostrating. How? الحال يسأل عنها بكيف. If you ask how, then the answer would be حال, describing the state. They came prostrating. تمشي إليه, walking towards him, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. مشى إليه, مشى يمشي. على ساق, on their trunks. بلا قدمي, yet trees has ساق. So this is the same what we have. الساق is from the heels to the knees of human beings. This is ساق. Below the heels is the foot, and then above the leg is the knee. So this is the leg. It's not all of it. It's just this ساق from below the knee to above the ankles. So this is the trunk of, similar to the trunk of trees. Yet it has ساق. Every tree has ساق, a leg, but doesn't have a foot. So they were walking. They came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in walking, but not on feet. This is narrated in several hadiths. One of these hadiths is in Sunan al-Imam al-Darimi, on the authority of Sayyiduna Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. He says, كنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في سفر فدنا منه أعرابي فقال يا أعرابي أين تريد؟ قال إلى أهلي. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, according to the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be satisfied with him and with his father, he says, we were with the Messenger of Allah traveling. A Bedouin approached him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, where are you heading for? He said, to my tribe. Can I call you to something better? هَلَّكَ إِلَى خَيْرٍ. What if I call you to something better? He said, وَمَا هُوَ. What is it? قال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسوله عبده ورسوله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. The Bedouin said, من يشهد لك على ما تقول? Who testifies for what you are saying? رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم answered, هذه الشجرة السمرة, a specific type of trees, usually it grows in the desert. This specific tree, it was in the neighborhood. وهي بشاطئ الوادي, it was at the bottom of the valley. فدعها فإنها تجيبك. Call it and it will answer. قال فدعوتها فأقبلت تخد الأرض. The Bedouin says, I called it, it came splitting the earth. تخد from أخدود. خد يخد to make أخدود, to make a trench, to make a flaw in the earth. حتى قامت بين يديه, till it stood before him, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فاستشهدها ثلاثا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the tree to testify three times, and it testified as he said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Then it returned to its place. This hadith is in Sunan al-Imam al-Dari with a strong isnad. Another hadith also, according to Buraida, in Sunan al-Imam al-Darimi, a Bedouin asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a miracle, for a proof that he is a prophet. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, ask that tree, to a tree in their sight. Tell her, the Messenger of Allah is calling you. So the Bedouin did. The tree came, فمالت الشجرة عن يمينها وشمالها وبين يديها وخلفها فتقطعت عروقها ثم جاءت تخد الأرض تجر عروقها مغبرة حتى وقفت بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت السلام عليك يا رسول الله. The tree bent right, left, forward, backward, till it cut its roots, and then approached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making a trench in the earth and stirring up a lot of dust till it stood before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it said, Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. فقال الأعرابي, the Bedouin said, مرها فلترجع إلى منبتها. Ask her, order it to return to its place. فرجعت فدلت عروقها في ذلك الموضع فاستوت. The tree returned to its place and got its roots back in the earth. فقال الأعرابي, أتأذن لي أن أسجد لك. The Bedouin, having witnessed this miracle, he wanted to prostrate himself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَن لِي أَنْ أَسْجُدَ لَكَ قال لو أمرت أحدا أن يسجد لأحد لأمرت المرأة أن تسجد لزوجها وفي رواية لبعلها. If I were to command anyone to prostrate for anyone, I would have commanded wives to prostrate to their husbands. قال فأذن لي أن أقبل يديك ورجليك فأذن له صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Give me permission to kiss your hands and your feet. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم permitted him. This is another example. One hadith in Jami' al-Imam al-Tirmidhi on the authority of Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنهما, a Bedouin came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم asking, how would I know that you're a prophet? قال إن دعوت هذا العذق من هذه النخلة أتشهد أني رسول الله. If I call that branch from that palm tree, would you testify that I am the messenger of Allah? فدعاه فجعل ينزل من النخلة حتى سقط إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The branch of the palm tree answered the call of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and left the palm tree, cut itself from the palm tree, left it till it came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam قال له, said to it, ارجع فعاد, return to your place. It returned. فأسلم الأعرابي. الإمام الترمذي said حديث حسن صحيح غريب. We have several hadiths that testify to the coming of the trees upon the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have other hadith that also tell us of the trees speaking. Similarly, the stones, rocks speaking, or gravels, small pieces of stones speaking, either on the road, on the way, or in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one hadith, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anna narrates, مررت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ببعض طرق مكة فما مر على حجر ولا شجر إلا قال السلام عليك يا رسول الله. I was with the Messenger of Allah in some of the ways of Mecca, and he never passed by a tree or a rock, but they said, peace be upon you, gave salam to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The miracle of trees speaking to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and answering his call is a mutawatir miracle. We mean by mutawatir, narrated several times by several sahabas on several occasions. Denying it is kufr. This is the level of mutawatir. Now, some stories might not have strong isnads in specific times, on specific occasions, but the origin of the story that trees bent, came, spoke, testified, this amount of the story is mutawatir. We have several stories, several narrations that emphasize the same news. The same also for stones, rocks, gravels speaking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or giving him salam, or testifying to his message. This miracle is a mutawatir miracle. And the stories together would be dozens. We have dozens of stories of trees speaking and of stones speaking. And don't forget the story of the trunk of the palm tree to which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to recline when delivering his speeches in Al-Madina Al-Munawwara. We have stories in Mecca and stories in Al-Madina. That specific story known as Haninul Jidh'a, the trunk of the tree. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to deliver his speeches in his mihrab, at the palm tree. And the place of the palm tree is still known on the left-hand side when you face the qibla of the mihrab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. One of the women of Al-Ansar had a servant, a slave, who was a carpenter. And she asked him to make a pulpit, minbar, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba were becoming many, increasing, and they needed to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The minbar was made. This is one of the strongest hadith on the cause of making the minbar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the minbar, and the moment he left the al-jidh', the trunk of the palm tree, and got up on the pulpit, the al-jidh' made a noise, a sound of haneen, wailing, lamenting the loss of the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, yearning to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, till everyone in the masjid heard it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came down the minbar, patted on the trunk of the palm tree. In one narration, gave him the choice of either becoming green again or waiting to be in Al-Jannah with him. And the trunk of the palm tree preferred the latter to the former, to become, to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Jannah. So this is also, this specific story is mutawatir. We have it narrated by many Sahaba, is a specific story. So this amount of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is mutawatir. And we have several others. We're coming to mention also healing sick people by the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or by the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this is also mutawatir. And coming to speak about the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in the midst of the political mess now and the fuss made about the ways how to refute the unbelievers now in Denmark, in Europe, in the USA, in America in general, how to encounter the Western challenges against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. One of the best methods is to show the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Westerners in general believe in miracles. And I quoted once in one of my speeches a poll made by the Newsweek magazine, and they said 78 of Americans believe in miracles. And we, if you follow up on how, let's say, priests and preachers preach in churches, the Christians, one of the major methods they use is showing the miracles of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. They use this a lot, though they have only approximately 30 miracles of Jesus. They don't have many to narrate. And they make a huge fuss about these miracles, and they highlight them, and they repeat them, and repeat them, and repeat them again, and again, and again. And people never get bored of that, or maybe they get bored. This is why there are not many people in churches. Anyway, but we have thousands. Compared to 30 miracles of Jesus, we have over 3,000 miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We have volumes on the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that we could relate to people in the West. And these miracles are narrated by isnads, and the isnads are facts, built on facts. So it doesn't matter if they happened 1400 years ago or more, or earlier, but they are facts. They can't deny them. If they deny these miracles, we have to make it clear. It's like denying Alexander the Greek or denying a historical fact that is established by mutawatir narrations. These miracles were witnessed by the people of that time. It is one of the best methods to approach people in the West to show the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they are proofs of his prophethood. What did we call the miracles before his birth sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Irhasat. And what do we call the miracles being proofs, generally speaking, to the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Dalailun nubuwa. كأنما سطرت سطرا لما كتبت فروعها من بديع الخط باللقم. Pinning a perfect inscription with their branches, a wondrous sign along the way. كأنما, as though, كاف التشبيه, كأنما. سطر يسطر, to write a line, to write down something. سطر, and سطر also. ومنه السطر. السطر, a line in a book. لما كتبت, كتابة, to write down, كتب يكتب. فروعها, plural form of فرع, branch, branches. من بديع الخط. بديع الخط is, بديع is made without any prototype. Something new, something invented, in the best way, in the best form. من بديع الخط باللقم. اللقم محجة الطريق is a broadway. محجة is a طريق العريض, is a broadway. I mean a broad here, two words, broadway. The author wanted here to draw our attention that the trees came walking to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam standing up and splitting the earth while coming without any bending right or left or forward or backward. This is a perfect miracle. The miracle was so perfect that usually when a tree is cut off its roots, or when its roots are damaged, the tree immediately would fall or would go with the wind sometimes and then fall. So you would imagine here the trees being cut off their roots, yet they still coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, not falling on their sides. The example made here, or the simile made here, is this tashbih, is like lines written in books. كأنما سطرت سطرا. This is one of the meanings meant in this line. Exactly like lines in books written straight forward without getting off the line, very straight. This is one meaning. And another meaning would be here. This is a very common, by the way, using this simile. Trees are like pens, writing. There is a famous line in Mu'allaqat Labid ibn Rabi'a al-Amiri. Labid ibn Rabi'a al-Amiri, one of the poets of the seven Mu'allaqat, seven suspended poems known before Islam. Labid became Muslim, the only poet of the seven Mu'allaqat who became Muslim. after becoming a Muslim, he didn't write any poetry, and he said that he memorized Surah Al-Baqarah, and it was better for him than all of his poetry. It's a well-known fact that Ibn Khaldun emphasized in his Muqaddimah that getting engaged in Al-Qur'an al-Kareem before poetry would make it difficult for any poet, for any person to write poetry, because the Qur'an is matchless. This is why methods of teaching kids vary. In the section of Muqaddimah Ibn Khaldun, the introduction, Ibn Khaldun discusses the idea of what to teach kids and what are the methods of people of Andalusia, people of Morocco, people of Tunisia, people of the East, what are the different methods they use. Some start with teaching kids Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. He says when you teach kids Al-Qur'an al-Kareem only from the beginning, the early years of their age, 5 or 6, they would never be able to write any poetry or get to the top level of fasaha, because Al-Qur'an is matchless and there is no way to imitate the style of Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. He advises, like the Andalusians way, he says, they mix with Al-Qur'an al-Kareem some poetry. They teach kids some poetry so that kids would have examples to imitate from the poetry. So generally speaking, literalists, or would say not literalists, scholars of literature and critics noticed this, that comparing for example Hassan ibn Thabit's poetry before Islam to after Islam to his poetry before Islam, they noticed that his poetry after Islam became in a way or another less in eloquence, not more. You'd expect that it should become more eloquent, but the reason is they were impressed by the style of Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, shocked, linguistically speaking, they were shocked by the style of Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, it is matchless, they couldn't match up to that style at all. So Lamid stopped writing any poetry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said about him, أصدق كلمة قالها شاعر كلمة لبيد ألا كل شيء ما خل الله باطل. The truest statement said by any poet is the statement of لبيد, no, anything other than Allah is falsehood. He said this before Islam even. So in his معلقة there's a line, وجل السيول عن الطلول كأنما زبر تحد متونها أقلامها, making this simile of how floods wash hills off when rains come down. So rains would come down on top of hills, then the floods coming or the rains pouring from top of hills down, they would wash off the side hills, exactly like pens being sharpened by knives, using the simile. Al-Farazdaq, the famous Islamic poet, was heard someone reading the Mu'allaqa of Labid, and when he reached this line, he prostrated, he did sujood. Someone asked him, why are you doing sujood? He said, you know the sujood of Al-Qur'an, I know the sujood of poetry. Pointing out that this is a great line, so sujood should be done because of the eloquence of this line. Sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking for the eloquence of this line. But this is one of the anecdotes. He said, you know the sujood of Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. How many sajdas we had them in fiqh? 14. So he said, you know the sujood of Al-Qur'an al-Kareem. I know the places where you make sujood in poetry. So this is the line, وَجَلَ السُّيُولَ عَنِ الطُّلُولِ كأنما زبر تحد متونها أقلامها. زبر from زابر, writer, scribe. تحد متونها, متن القلام, أقلامها. So this is one example. So here, كأنما سطرت سطرا لما كتبت فروعها من بديع الخط باللقم. The other meaning would be hinting to the fact that the statements made by these trees were so clear like lines written in a book by pens. So the trunks are like pens writing down, and writing these statements in straight lines so clearly that could be easily read. This is hinting, the line hints to this meaning. مثل الغمامة أن سار سائرة تقيه حر وطيس للهجير حمي. You have it in some editions, مثل الغمامة. The common reading is مثل الغمامة. Both are correct. أن سار سائرة. There's only one possibility with سائرة. مثل الغمامة. This is حال. حال. جاءت مثل الغمامة. جاءت الأشجار مثل الغمامة. حال منصوب في حالة كونها مثل الغمامة. In a state like clouds coming, walking. مثل, it means حالها مثل. خبر لمبتدأ محذوف. مثل الغمامة. But the more common, reading is مثل الغمامة. أن سار سائرتان wherever he صلى الله عليه وسلم walks while walking, then they would protect him. سار يسير. الغمامة first of all is الغمامة بفتح الغين. الغمامة is اسم جنس جمعي يفرق بينه وبين واحده بالتاء. غمام غمامة. Plural is غمام. Singular is غمامة. So the difference between the singular and the plural form is only in التاء المربوطة. Like شجر شجرة. بقر بقرة. Only تاء مربوطة makes the difference between the singular and the plural. اسم جنس جمعي. Plural of it is غمام. Is سحابة. Clouds. أن سار سائرة wherever. أن بمعنى المكان. ظرف للمكان مع الشرط. اسم شرط. سارة walks. تقيه حر وطيس. وقا يقي. وقا يقي to protect. The root of تقوى. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم. وقاك الله. حر. الحر ضد البرد. Opposite of البرد. Heat. الوطيس originally, the meaning of وطيس originally is the furnace. Is the furnace where you make bread. Have you ever seen tannur? The word for it is tannur. Have you ever seen tannur? Do you have it in Pakistan? Or how does it look like? Can someone describe it just to... Yeah? Exactly. You have it in Pakistan, in India? Okay. We used to have it a lot here, only very few, one or two are remaining here in Damascus. So this is tannur. And this is the original meaning of al-watis. Then metaphorically it was used to describe the heat of the battle, for example. The heat of a battle is like al-watis. And the heat of the sun when it is very hot in August is like watis. In one hadith of Ghazwat Hunayn, or generally speaking, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "Kunna idha hamiya al-watis." When the furnace was hot, it means here the furnace of the battle. وَحْمَرَّتِ الْحَدَقِ اِتَّقَيْنَا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. When the heat of the battle was so high and the eyes were so red, we used to take shelter with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم while fighting the enemies. He was the bravest. So this is the origin of the meaning. So تَقِيهِ حَرَّ وَطِيسٍ, protecting him from the heat of a furnace. You can imagine the heat of the Sahara in midsummer. للهجيري حمي. الهجير نصف النهار. This is to add up to the image. noonday. Hajir is noonday. Hamiya ishtadda. Verb. جواب الشرط محذوف دل عليه الكلام مثل الغمامة أن سار سائرة فهي تسير تقيه حر بطيس للهجير حميل. So this is another miracle pointing out to the walking of the clouds, and he makes here this simile تشبيه between the walking of the trees and the walking of the clouds, the clouds following him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wherever he went. The hadith of Imam al-Tirmidhi here in his Jami' on the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala, he says خرج أبو طالب ومعه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أشياخ من قريش. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with his uncle Abu Talib with some of the elders of Quraysh. فلما أشرفوا على راهب يقال له بحيرا وحلوا رحالهم خرج إليهم الراهب وكانوا قبل ذلك يمرون به فلا يخرج إليهم فجعل يتخللهم حتى جاء فأخذ بيد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ثم قال هذا سيد العالمين هذا رسول رب العالمين يبعثه الله رحمة للعالمين. On the way to Syria, as in some other narrations, they stopped at a place where there was a monk called Bahira al-Rahib. They dismounted their camels. But unlike earlier occasions, the monk came out and started getting through them, searching for someone or examining their faces, till he found Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took his hand. This is before the message. He took his hand. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam was young. With Abu Talib, he took the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, the monk said, هذا سيد العالمين, the master of the worlds, رسول رب العالمين, the messenger of the Lord of the worlds, and Allah will send him as mercy to the worlds, يبعثه الله رحمة للعالمين. فقال له أشياخ قريش ما أعلمك بهذا. The elders of Quraysh asked, how did you know about this? فقال إنكم حين أشرفتم من العقبة لم يبق شجر ولا حجر إلا خر ساجدا ولا يسجدان إلا لنبي. When you arrived from the turning, when you appeared from the turning far in the horizon, there was no tree, all trees and stones prostrated, and they never prostrate but to a prophet. وإني عرفته بخاتم النبوة أسفل من غضروف كتفيه مثل التفاحة. And I got to know him because of the seal of prophethood under his shoulder like an apple. ثم رجع وصنع لهم طعاما. The monk made for them some food. فلما أتاهم به وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم في رعي الإبل. When he brought the food, the Messenger of Allah was not there. He was taking care of the camels. قال أرسلوا إليه. Sent for him. He صلى الله عليه وسلم came. وعليه غمامة تظله. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came walking towards the group, the camp, and he had the cloud shading him. فلما دنا من القوم وجدهم قد سبقوه إلى فيء الشجرة. When he approached his people, he found out that they already got to the shade or in the shade of the tree. فلما جلس مال فيء الشجرة عليه. When he sat صلى الله عليه وسلم, The shade of the tree came towards him, towards his direction. فبين الراهب قائم يناشدهم ألا يذهبوا به إلى الروم فإن الروم إن رأوه عرفوه بالصفة فيقتلونه. The monk was standing, beseeching them not to travel with him to Syria, not to take him to Syria, because if a room, the Byzantines, discovered him, they would kill him. فالتفت, the monk turned, فإذا بسبعة من الروم قد أقبلوا, seven people of from Syria, from the Byzantines, approached or arrived. فاستقبلهم الراهب, the monk received them and asked, ما جاء بكم, what brought you here? قالوا نبئنا أن هذا النبي خارج في هذا الشهر فلم يبق طريق إلا بعث ملكنا إليه بأناس. We heard that the prophet is sent on this month. So our king sent people around trying to trace information or block the roads or investigating about him. قال فرأيتم أمرا يريد الله أن يقضيه هل يستطيع أحد من الناس رده. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed something to take place, would any man be able to turn it, to stop it? قالوا لا. فبايعوه وزود الراهب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الكعك والزيت. And the monk gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some food, some kaak and some kaak cake. The word kaak is from, cake comes from kaak. In English, cake comes from kaak. So this is one example of how the trees shaded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are other narrations in Al-Madinah. The narrations are weak, but they are valid in this regard, because we're not establishing proofs for legal rulings. We're establishing here virtues of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says, when we narrate hadiths to establish legal rulings, إِذَا رَوَيْنَا فِي الْأَحْكَامِ تَشَدَّدْنَا, we are strict. وَإِذَا رَوَيْنَا فِي الْأَخْبَارِ وَالسِّيَرِ وَالْفَضَائِلِ أخذنا بالضعيف أو تساهلنا. When we relate hadith in فضائل الأعمال or in history or in seerah, as in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we accept weak hadith. Weak hadith in seerah are like sound hadith in fiqh. Then Al-Imam Al-Busiri radiyallahu ta'ala an says, أقسمت بالقمر المنشق إن له من قلبه نسبة مبرورة القسم. I swear by the Lord of the Moon, split in two, so deeply involved with his heart, and this oath is true. This is a beautiful line that points out to another miracle. And this miracle is mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, in Shiqaqu al-Qamar. We have a surah in the Quran al-Kareem, Surah al-Qamar. And the miracle was one of the major miracles, according to theologians, scholars of Al-Aqidah. This miracle was coupled with tahaddi, with challenge. So no one could claim such a miracle at all. It was one of the major proofs to the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر وَإِنْ يَرَوْا كُلَّ آيَةٍ يُعْرِضُوا وَيَقُولُوا سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the meaning is, the hour is soon, اقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةِ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ, and the moon has split. The hour is coming soon, and the moon has split. Yet if they, وَإِنْ يَرَوْا, yet whenever they see a miracle, وَإِنْ يَرَوْا كُلَّ آيَةٍ وَإِنْ يَرَوْا آيَةً يُعْرِضُوا وَيَقُولُوا اقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ وَإِنْ يَرَوْا آيَةً يُعْرِضُوا وَيَقُولُوا سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ. When they see a miracle, they say it's an ongoing or spreading or overwhelming witchcraft, magic, sihr, witchcraft. The origin of this is the kuffar of Quraysh asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to show them a miracle that he is a prophet. So he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, according to Imam al-Qadi Iyad, said to them, if I split this moon into two parts, would you believe? They said yes. Or according to another narration, he immediately pointed out to the moon and said, Ishhadu. So the moon split into two parts, one in the فوق الجبل وفرقة دونه, one in the skies above the mountain and one below the mountain on the other side. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ishhadu. In one narration, some of the unbelievers said, إن كان محمد سحركم فلا يمكنه أن يسحر أهل الأرض. If he practiced some black magic, some magic on you, he can't do this to the people of the earth. So ask travelers. So they asked travelers coming from abroad, outside Arabia, and they told them that they witnessed the night, the same night they witnessed the moon split. I read over 20 years ago that they discovered in some inscriptions on some stones in China an authentication, documentation of the splitting of the moon in their calendar equal at the same time that took place in Mecca al-Mukarrama for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as a miracle for him. So this is أقسمت بالقمر المنشق. So he's not telling that that changing the style. With every few lines there's a new style. There is a new style. So جاءت لدعوته is news, telling the news. الأشجار ساجدة تمشي إليه على ساق بلا قدم كأنما سطرت مثل الغمامة. Then instead of telling and the moon split for him, he changes the whole style and he makes an oath. He says, أقسمت بالقمر المشق إن شاء, أي أقسم بالقمر. I make an oath by the splitting moon. إن له. How does he make an oath by something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, not by Allah nor by any one of his names? We have several answers. The simple answer that could be given is that in the Maliki Madhab, making an oath by things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is makruh, is not haram, is makruh. This is a very simple answer from a legal point of view. This is not haram. But the best answer, or a better answer, would be that this is when done in the speech. When done in the speech, it is permitted. And there is a hadith that is quoted here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an oath by a father of a Bedouin. The famous hadith that a Bedouin came from Najd. His hair is untidy. Sahaba says, نسمع دوي صوته ولا نفقه ما يقول. We hear the noise of his voice, but we don't figure out what he says, what he's saying. He approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we knew that he's asking about Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, خمس صلوات في اليوم والليلة, five prayers every day and night. هل علي غيرهن أو غيرها, is there anything, do I have to do anything else? قال لا إلا أن تطوع أو إلا أن تصدق. No, unless you want to make extras. So وصيام شهر رمضان, and fasting the month of Ramadan. هل علي غيره, is there anything extra I have to do? قال لا إلا أن تطوع. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him of الزكاة. Then the man left saying, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ لَا أَزِيدُ عَلَى هَذَا وَلَا أَنْقُصُ. By the one who sent you with the truth, I won't do anything more nor miss anything, and I will not miss anything. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَفْلَحَ الْأَعْرَابِيُّ إِنْ صَدَقْ أو أَفْلَحَ إِنْ صَدَقْ. If he is true to his word, he'll get falah, he'll get salvation on the day of judgment. أَوْ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ وَأَبِيهِ إِنْ صَدَقْ. In one narration in Sahih Muslim, he will enter al-Jannah by his father, I swear, if he is true to his word. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an oath by his father, by the father of the Bedouin. أَفْلَحَ وَأَبِيهِ إِنْ صَدَقْ. دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ وَأَبِيهِ إِنْ صَدَقْ. By his father. So Imam al-Nawawi said, either the hadith came before the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam prohibited making oaths by other than Allah, in the famous hadith also agreed upon in the Sahihain, مَنْ كَانَ حَارِفًا فَلْيَحْلِفْ بِاللَّهِ أَوْ لِيَذَرْ. Anyone who makes an oath, let him make an oath either by Allah or not make oath at all. So the hadith is said before this prohibition. Or the other alternative is that this is in the middle of the speech. There's a quote here of Majnun Layla, فَإِنْ تَكُ لَيْلَ اسْتَوْدَعَتْنِي أَمَانَةً فَلَا وَأَبِي أَعْدَائِهَا لَا أَخُونُهَا. If Layla entrusted me with an amana, nay, by the father of her enemy, I will not betray this trust. So, in the midst of the speech. But this is not a very strong answer. The best answer is the following. He's not making an oath by the moon. He's making an oath by the miracle. Because by the moon itself, he could have said, أَقْسَمْتُ بِالْقَمَرِ. But this is not what he says. He says, أَقْسَمْتُ بِالْقَمَرِ الْمُنْشَقِّ. So his oath is stipulated. He's making an oath by the moon in a specific state when it splits for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So he is making an oath by one of the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So by one of the attributes of Allah, af'al, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sifat al-dhat and sifat al-af'al. Sifat al-af'al is al-rizq, for example, al-imata, al-ihya, causing death to someone, granting life to someone, providing rizq to someone. So making an oath bil-fi'l. So the oath here is by the fi'l, by the miracle itself, the moon splitting, rather than the moon itself. So and this is the best answer. إن له من قلبه نسبة مبرورة القسم. What he means by the second line is quoting another miracle that happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and comparing it to the first miracle. Because we have the moon splitting and we have also the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam splitting open. So شق القمر وشق الصدر. The same word, شق الصدر. And شق الصدر took place several times. We have four occasions, according to the scholars of the Sira al-Nabawiyya, historians, we have four occasions on which the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was split open. The most famous occasions are two. One when he was very young, being breastfed with Bani Sa'd, Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, his mother milk, was breastfeeding him, nursing him. This is the first time. And the second most famous time also narrated is at the Isra, before Al-Isra. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was taken to Al-Kaaba and his heart was split open and was washed with Zamzam. There is an extra splitting shaq that took place also when he was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a young boy with Halima also in her camp. And the fourth one, when he sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was sent as a messenger. Four occasions. So من قلبه نسبة مبرورة القسم. The most famous hadith is the hadith of Bani Sa'd. Abu Ya'la, Abu Nu'aym ibn Asakir relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, قال كنت مسترضعا في بني سعد. I was being breastfed in the camps of the clan of Bani Sa'd ibn Bakr. فبين أنا ذات يوم في بطن واد مع أتراب لي من الصبيان. When I was once at the bottom of a valley with some of my peers, with some boys of my age, فإذا أنا برهط ثلاث. All of a sudden I saw three people. معهم طست من ذهب ملئ ثلجا. They had with them a basin, طست, a basin, a flat pot. This is a basin, a flat طست. Made of gold. It was filled with ice. Thalj is not ice, is snow. فأخذوني من بين أصحابي. They picked me up from my peers. وانطلق الصبيان هرابا أو هرابا جمع هارب مسرعين. The boys ran away fast. إلى الحي, to the camp. فعمد أحدهم فأضجعني. One of the three laid me down. إضجاعا لطيفة, gently. ثم شق ما بين مفرق صدري إلى منتهى عانتي. Then he split open from my chest down the navel. إلى منتهى العانة, below the navel. وأنا أنظر إليه لم أجد لذلك بأسا. I was looking at him, not being harmed. ثم أخرج أحشاء بطني. Then he took what is in my belly. Al-ahsha is the stomach, the intestine, the colon, you call the colon, the colon. So all of that is ahsha, plural of hasha. ثم غسلها بذلك الثلج. Then he washed them with that snow. فأمعن غسلها carefully. ثم أعادها مكانها. Then he brought الأحشاء, the intestine, the stomach, everything inside, also the liver, the kidneys, all of that. Brought them back. ثم قام الثاني فقال لصاحبه تنحى. Then the second approached me and said to his companion, get aside. ثم أدخل يده في جوفي. Then he inserted his hand inside my chest. وأخرج قلبي. Then he took out my heart. وأنا أنظر إليه. While I was looking at him. فصدعه. He split it open. ثم أخرج منه مضغة سوداء. فرمى بها. Then he took out of it a small chunk of meat that was black. And threw it away. ثم أشار بيده يمنة ويسرة كأنه يتناول شيئا. Then he pointed out with his hand right and left as though he was picking up something. فإذا خاتم من نور يحار الناظر دونه. And all of a sudden I saw in his hand a seal of light. Onlookers would be amazed when looking at it. Astonished. فختم به على قلبي فامتلأ نورا. He sealed with it my heart, so that my heart was immediately filled with light. فامتلأ نورا. وذلك نور النبوة والحكمة. That is the light of prophethood and wisdom. ثم أعاده مكانه. Then he brought my heart back to its place. فوجدت برد ذلك الخاتم في قلبي دهرا. I felt the coolness of that seal in my heart for a long time. ثم قال الثالث لصاحبه تنحى. Then the third person, the third figure, said to his friend, his companion, keep aside. فمد يده من مفرق صدري إلى منتهى عانتي. He pointed with his hand from, or he patted with his hand from my chest down below the navel. فالتأم ذلك الشق بإذن الله. that flow healed, that wound or that flow healed by permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم أخذ بيدي فأنهضني من مكاني إنهاضا لطيفا. Then he took my hand and raised me up gently. This is the famous hadith that is narrated by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim briefly. And Abu Nu'aym and Ibn Asakir narrated the hadith with more details. But the origin of the hadith is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. There's another narration that this took place when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or another splitting took place when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 10 years of age. Abdullah ibn Ahmad narrates in his additions to the Musnad of his father, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala an, he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ما أول ما ابتدئت به من أمر النبوة? What was the first thing that you received as a prophet or from prophethood? قال إني لفي صحراء واسعة أمشي ابن عشر حجج. I was walking in a vast desert and I was 10 years of age. إذ أنا برجلين فوق رأسي. All of a sudden I saw two men above my head. يقول أحدهما لصاحبه أهو هو? One asks the other, is he? قال نعم. He said yes. فأخذاني فأضجعاني لحلاوة القفا. They laid me down on the middle of my back. This is a metaphor of حلاوة القفا. ثم شقا بطني. Then they split my stomach. وكان أحدهما يختلف بالماء في طست من ذهب والآخر يغسل جوفي. One of them was carrying the basin of gold, the other was washing what is in the stomach, what is in the inside the body. فقال أحدهما لصاحبه افلق صدره. One of them said to the other, spit open his chest. This is after spitting open the belly. فإذا صدري فيما أرى مفلوقا لا أجد له وجع. All of a sudden I saw my chest open with no pain. ثم قال اشقق قلبه فشق قلبي. Then said to the other, spit open his heart. He did. فقال أخرج منه الغل والحسد. He said, take out of it الغل, hatred, and الحسد, envy. فأخرج شبه العلقة, something like a clot of blood. فنبذ به, threw it away. ثم قال أدخل الرأفة والرحمة قلبه. Then he said, put in his heart compassion and mercy. فأدخل شيئا كهيئة الفضة. He inserted something that looked like silver. ثم أخرج ذرورا كان معه فذر عليه. He had some powder with him and he sprinkled some of that powder. Sprinkled for water, used for powders. Sprinkled also for zakalah. ثم نقر إبهامي. Then he نقر is say something like this. Flicked. Then he flicked my thumb. ثم قال أغدو. فرجعت بما لم أغد به من رحمتي للصغير ورأفتي للكبير. Then he flicked my thumb and said, get up and go back. He said, I went back with what I didn't have before of mercy for the minors and compassion for the elders. Also there was another splitting at the message, when receiving the message in Ghar Hira from Jibreel. The fourth is the splitting at Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. This is in the Haram before Al-Ka'ba. Al-Imam Ibn Hajar al-Haytami says that the narrations of splitting the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the body of Rasulullah, or the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is mutawatir. We have several stories Of course, the Quran al-Kareem speaks of this, but speaks of it indirectly. It's not nas, it's mu'awwal. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, because the verse may suggest didn't we split open your chest, or didn't we put tranquility in your heart, in your chest. So شرح الصدر here either easing his chest for the message, preparing him for the message, metaphorically speaking, or أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ, didn't we split open. Both are narrated from the Salaf radiallahu ta'ala anhum. More of course towards the splitting open of the heart, literally speaking. So this is the meaning of min qalbihi nisbatan. Nisba is relation. So there is relation between splitting the moon and splitting the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's making this oath, and his oath is fulfilled. He says, أَقْسَمْتُ بِالْقَمَرِ الْمُشَقِّ إِنَّ لَهُ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ نِسْبَةً مَبْرُورَةَ الْقَسَمِ. He is not breaching his oath when he says that, well, there is a relationship between, there is some relation between the splitting of the moon and splitting of the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The other aspect of the splitting of the moon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, or can be understood when comparing the splitting of the sea for Musa alayhi salam. Because there's no miracle that any prophet was given, but that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our prophet, was given something similar to it or greater than it. So if the Jewish people or the followers of Musa alayhi salam boast or get pride on the splitting of the sea before Muslims, Muslims can be proud that their messenger was given the splitting of the moon. Splitting of the sea is something that is conceivable by building bridges, for example. So now they make bridges. But the splitting of the moon is something that is, that cannot be conceived by any mind at all. وَمَا حَوَى الْغَارُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ وَمِنْ كَرَمٍ وَكُلُّ طَرْفٍ عَنِ الْكُفَّارِ وَكُلُّ طَرْفٍ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ عَنْهُ عَمِي. وَمَا حَوَى الْغَارُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ وَمِنْ كَرَمٍ وَكُلُّ طَرْفٍ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ عَنْهُ عَمِي. See here the oath. The oath in this line is clearer than the oath in the earlier line. أَقْسَمْتُ بِالْقَمَرِ وَبِمَا حَوَى الْغَارُ. I make an oath by the splitting moon and by what is contained in the cave. Who is in the cave? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But he is not making it by Rasulullah. He is making it by what is in the cave of honor and good. Khayr, good. Karam here, honor. So by what Allah, by how Allah honored Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And by the Lord of the cave in which he hid where a posse of blind skeptics failed to find him. This is quite far from the literal meaning or the actual meaning of the line. وَمَا حَوَى الْغَارُ, and by what is contained in the ghar, in the cave, what is in the cave, by what is in the cave. الخير and الكرم is, الخير is known, opposite of الشر, and here it means all the gifts, all the great divine favors. What is the divine favor, the most important divine favor here given from Allah, we mean here given by the divine, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And الكرم here, كرم is generosity in one meaning, the other meaning is nobility, noble origins. What is meant here is ikram from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is contained in the cave of the great ikram of Allah, or karam itself, karam origin, the karam al-asl, the great origin, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is of great origin. the greatest origin. So he makes a note by this, highlighting the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam got in the cave. And I'm not going to talk about the story is quite lengthy, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveling, coming to visit Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, in midday, in a time he usually wouldn't visit Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Before that, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq sought the permission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to travel to Al-Madinah. Rasulullah asked him to wait and till he received permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to travel. Abu Bakr had prepared two camels, fed them properly. So he offered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one of them, qala bithaman, by price. So he paid him. This is an example for us to learn how to prepare yourself and rely on your own resources, struggle to get everything managed by yourself, to get the best rewards for that, and to have your action purely and sincerely done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq made the arrangements of that trip with the Sayyida Asma, that was Nitaqayn, bringing the food, with Abdullah, his son, bringing the news, with his slave bringing the milk. So Amir bin Fuhayra, the shepherd of the sheep of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, used to come during the day removing, erasing the traces of the feet of Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr. Abdullah used to come in the evening. He used to stay with Quraysh during the day till sunset. Then sunset, instead of going to sleep in his home, he would go and bring the news to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about Quraysh, the rumors, or about their plans. Then before Fajr, he would head back to his to Mecca and stay in Mecca as one of the tenants of Mecca with no one noticing. Amr bin Fuhayra would go in the morning early at Fajr time to erase his traces, because Arabs used to follow tracks in the desert, and they would know the age of the travelers, the gender of the travelers, sometimes with more details, just from looking at their the traces of their feet or the imprints of their feet in the sands. So this is part of the arrangements that was made. And then Arqad, or Arqat as in one narration, was the guide. He was still mushrik at that time. He was the guide who took them. And you understand the plan, the maneuver Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. Instead of traveling towards Al-Madinah, he went south instead of going north. Quraysh knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be heading for Al-Madinah. Al-Madinah is north of Mecca, so they looked north. They only went south later. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam headed, after he went out of the cave, he headed south, misleading Quraysh. That was part of the plan. So this is al-asbab, taking all procedures, following all courses of action in order to survive. However, at one point or the other, human means would fail. And what would work is your reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're with Allah from beginning to end, then when your own means fail to get you what you want or to support you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let you down. But if you relied from beginning to end on your resources, then you would fail at the end. You have to return to Allah from the beginning. الرجوع إلى الله في البدايات من علامات النجح في النهايات. Ibn Ata'illah al-Sakandari says in his Hikam, in his aphorisms, من علامات النجح في النهايات الرجوع إلى الله تعالى في البدايات. One of the signs of success at the end is to return to Allah, to refer to Allah from the beginning. And this is the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he took all the course of all actions, relying on Allah, not relying on asbab, Allah supported him at the end. So Allah made the وَكُلُّ طَرْفٍ. طَرْف is the eye. Is the eye. لا يجمع. It doesn't have a plural form because it's originally مصدر. الطرف doesn't have a plural form. عمي يعمى also. So every look, every eye of the believer, of the unbelievers, was blind when looking at the cave. عنه عن الغار. عنه return to الغار or to رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. So it could return to الخير and الكرم mentioned here referring to رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Metaphorically speaking, he could have referred to by خير and كرم to أبو بكر and رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Both things, because we have it later on. فالصدق في الغار والصديق also referring to رسول الله and to أبو بكر. الصدق رسول الله and الصديق أبو بكر. The truthfulness or الصدق itself, the truth itself is in the غار, and the person attesting to the truth is there, الصديق. Really, very beautifully put. So وما حوى الغار من خير ومن كرم وكل طرف من الكفار عنه عمي. I make an oath by what is in the cave of the great divine favor and the great noble origin of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم or of Abu Bakr and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, whilst the eyes of the unbelievers were all made blind when trying to look for them. فالصدق في الغار والصديق لم يرما وهم يقولون ما بالغار من أرم. So al-Siddiq is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. الصدق is infinitive, مصدر, is opposite of الكذب, lying. Yet he made رسول الله الصدق. الصدق is رسول الله because he's so true to everything he says, so he is himself الصدق. Like the description of a Sayyidah Aisha, كان خلقه القرآن, he was القرآن, صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he is الصدق. So الصدق is in the cave, رسول الله is in the cave, and الصديق. Notice here the beautiful what we may say جناس اشتقاق, the alliteration in the etymology of the name of الصديق, using the مصدر for رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and the adjective for أبو بكر الصديق. So الصديق is being true to الصدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم in all of his statements. لم يريما, they never left, they never moved out. This is the meaning of Yarima. لم يبرحا يقال لا أريم من مكاني بمعنى لا أبرح. وهم يقولون, هم refers to the unbelievers. ما بالغار من أريمي. أي ليس بالغار أحد. أرم بمعنى أحد. And there's no one single human being in the cave, they were saying, because of what is mentioned in the following line, the الحمام and العنكبوت. The truth and his friend, the truthful, kept quiet in the cave, while outside the search party grumbled, "It's just an empty cave." This is a translation here. So So while وهم يقولون ما بالغار من أريم. So showing the two opposites here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and al-Siddiq are in the cave, yet outside people are saying there's no one here. This is a great miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we understand Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an said, this is in the interpretation of the verse, إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, إلا تنصروه, if you do not support him, فقد نصره الله, Allah did indeed support him. إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا, when the unbelievers drove him out, أخرجه الذين كفروا ثانية اثنين, when he was only with another, the second of two, إذ هما في الغار, when they were in the cave, إذ يقول لصاحبه, when he says to his companion, لا تحزن, grieve you not, إن الله معنا, Allah is indeed with us. So this is when Abu Bakr al-Siddiq رضي الله تعالى was afraid. He said, يا رسول الله لو أن أحدهم نظر موضع قدميه لرآنا. If any of them looked at the place of his feet, just looked down at his feet, he would see us. They were just below the cave. If you've seen the cave, the entrance is a little bit higher. So when you get in the cave, you go a little bit down in the cave. So لو أن أحدهم, if they looked just a little bit down at their feet, they would see us. Here comes the answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ya Abu Bakr, ما ظنك باثنين الله ثالثهما. Oh Abu Bakr, what do you think of two? Allah is a third with them. So you see here the reliance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and the fear of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. Or we would say here the anxiety of Rasulullah, of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, firmness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the trust he had in Allah, and the anxiety of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. Now, ظن الحمامة الصدق في الغار وهم يقولون ما بالغار من أحد, ما في الغار, that's the same, the same. الباء بمعنى فيه. No, it's not wrong. It's not wrong. No, it's not wrong. The are quotes. فصحى eloquent quotes. It could be used. But originally, fi is for الظرفية, for adverb of place. Fi is the original preposition. So ظن يظن, ظن الحمامة, to think that, to reckon. الحمام also is some جنس جمعي, singular is حمامة. ظن الحمامة وظن العنكبوت, they also thought that a spider, العنكبوت. Anyone knows the plural form of عنكبوت? عناكب, عناكب. They were wrong to think a spider couldn't wave a curtain, or a dove hover lovingly over creation's crown. They never thought, the line, the meaning, the literal meaning is ظنوا لم تنسج, they never thought that the dove and the spider would wave, they never thought that the dove, al-hamam, would come around to build its nest and the spider would wave its net around the cave. They never thought this would happen. So you have here ظنوا الحمامة وظنوا العنكبوت, الحمامة والعنكبوت. Then at the end of the line لم تنسج ولم تحمي, you have them mentioned in opposite order. الحمام لم تنسج wave, لم تحمي comes around. So لم تنسج refers to the spider, لم تحمي refers to the dove. From حام يحوم to come around and build a nest. So we have here لف and نشر. This is one of the محسنات بديعية. One of the techniques to beautify the text is, so we have الحمام والعنكبوت mentioned in that order, yet in opposite order. So النشر is غير مرتب, in the opposite order. As